GMP fans. School? Nope, let me start that over. Pretend it cut. That's fine. Spring break may be over, but school's out forever because aliens have taken over the faculty.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Guilty Movie Pleasures.
Yeah. Yes!
We are on point today.
I think that might be the first time I've ever fucked up an intro so bad.
He tried to cut the live stream. He said, cut.
I couldn't hear myself in the headset, so in my head I was like, I'm not talking yet. I'm not talking yet.
But you should have used your non-headphone ears to hear that you were talking.
Anyways, hey, we're covering The Faculty today, ladies and gentlemen. Ooh. The Robert Rodriguez, Kevin Williamson classic. Elijah Wood, Frodo Baggins. We can keep that music playing. I love it. Alice Cooper at the top.
Mm-hmm.
Let's crank it up a little bit. I can't tell. Maybe my headphones are just super low. Yes! I'm Ben Begley. I'm your host at The Ben Begley. Jesse, where can they find you?
At Too Much Jesse.
This is Jesse McIntosh,
What's
everybody.
Up?
In
What's
case
up,
you
everybody?
Have never watched it, which is probably not the case because it's the same 13 people.
We got new viewers. New viewers and listeners
new
today.
Viewers
welcome,
and listeners.
Welcome to the new viewers and
welcome
listeners.
Welcome all seven of you.
Appreciate
We're very
you.
Excited to have you. I would like to first mention, last week we talked about how my followers never, they always go above 2,000 and then go back down. And in a cruel... in a cruel game that's being played with me, they went up to like 2005, then went back down to 1998.
Sons of bitches.
So I'm convinced people listening to this show are just doing it to fuck with me.
Raise your hand.
Raise
if
your
it's
hand.
You.
Anyways, enough of that nonsense. We are here talking about The Faculty. This movie, I remember I saw it. It's 1998 it came out. Mm-hmm. I don't think I saw it in theaters, but I remember seeing it on VHS. I was a big fan of Robert Rodriguez, and I think I just started combing through after Desperado, just combing through everything he was directing.
Yeah.
And to be honest, when I first saw it back in the day, I think because I just recently seen Scream, and I just started watching horror films. I was a newbie to horror films. It took me a while. I was a wuss. And then now I can't get enough of them. But Scream was my first horror film. I don't even know if you consider this a horror film, more like a Twilight Zone episode.
I think you could.
Ish, yeah.
It's in the same vein.
Yeah, but it's more of like definitely a fun... it's a horror film for sure, but it's definitely more fun than scary. But I remember watching this and being like, it was okay. And now, this is one of the first movies we've done on this show where rewatching it now, I love it. And it's so fun. And I don't understand why I didn't like it as much back then. But I had a blast watching
this.
Were you
judging younger you and watching it
now? And
being
I was like, younger you. You didn't know what was going on.
I made some mistakes.
This is a lot of fun.
It was.
Robert Patrick alone is worth the price of admission.
Robert Patrick?
He's
the coach?
Yeah, the coach,
yeah.
For a second, I thought I said Jason Patrick.
That's actually who I thought when
or
you
Sean
said
Patrick
Robert
Flannery.
Patrick.
And there were just too many Patricks.
Patrick Waugh, former goaltender of the Colorado
Patrick
Avalanche.
Patrick Warburton?
Yeah.
By the way, I saw him at the Burbank Airport one time, and there was a guy that was dressed up that everybody thought was the Dalai Lama but wasn't, and they were all taking photos of him. So I was staring there, and I didn't realize that I was staring in the same direction as Patrick Warburton, and he got kind of weirded out and like moved away like I was going to ask him for an autograph or a picture or something. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, oh, shit, putty. Oh, fake Dalai Lama. This is awesome.
What a weird, like, did people legitimately think that, like, the Dalai Lama was in the Burbank airport and no one had said anything about, like...
I mean, he was traveling with several Dalai Lama-ish people, and he had the...
Dalai Lama-ish
I think he was a religious leader for sure, but definitely not the Dalai
not
Lama.
The
because
Dalai
I
Lama
just
himself.
Recently watched the John Oliver that had the Dalai Lama.
Yeah, how about that? That's
great.
Crazy. Anyway, check that clip out.
I am derailing us completely.
About.
What do you think? Is this the first time you saw The Faculty?
No, I actually saw it when I was younger, not because I loved Robert Rodriguez, but because I loved Faculties. And I was like, this is perfect for me.
You just always wanted to peek behind the curtain
of the teacher's lounge? Kinda, yeah. No, I I saw this in my friend Tim's room where we saw a lot of our old movies.
Where like when we were a kid, it was Ben Folkman. Shout out to Benny Folkman.
What up, Ben?
It was his basement.
I always look at your camera when I shout out your people. I don't
know
why.
I'm going to start looking at yours.
That camera can't see me.
But we used to watch it in the basement of my buddy Benny's house. We'd eat a bunch of popcorn, drink a bunch of Surge Cola, play Mario Kart 64, and then at like midnight turn on some movie we'd rented from Video Time, the local video store, on VHS.
Yeah.
And From Dusk Till Dawn was definitely one, and this was definitely one.
So we went to Tim Pittman's house, and he had like,
shout out to Tim.
Shout out to Tim. No, shout out my camera.
Yeah,
please.
Shout out to Tim.
Thank you. His house was great. He had a 4-story house, and his bedroom itself was 2 stories.
What?
Yeah. So he had like a lounge area of his bedroom where we would throw a movie onto the TV, and then we'd all hang out. And so that's where I saw this movie, and I was sort of like in and out of it because like a bunch of people were there, yeah. And there was like other stuff happening.
That happened a lot in high school. Uh-huh. A lot of half-watching movies.
Right. And so there are a couple of lasting images that I had from this movie, but I didn't remember exactly how I felt about it.
What were
your
lasting images? Just I want to see if they're the same.
Josh Hartnett pulling the slicer off the paper slicer.
Because I thought that was the coolest thing ever.
Yeah. Because it was.
And I always thought to myself, if Red Dawn ever happened at my school, I'm going for the paper cutter.
I mean,
and then John Stewart, pencil to the eye.
Pencil in the eye. And I feel like,
I remember Salma Hayek,
the principal with the fireworks going on, or not the principal, the football coach with the fireworks behind him at the football game, when they're all aliens.
I remember naked Southern Belle. As we talk about on the show all the time, when we were teenagers, every boob was like a Pokemon. It was magical and you had to catch them all.
Yep.
And so I do remember that vividly.
That was,
there we go.
As she emerged from the shadows, that was a weird nudity.
Weird
it was, like they even asked her in the scene, they're like, why are you naked?
Yeah,
she was like,
well, because I transformed into this creature and obviously my clothes ripped off.
Sure.
Just like, why isn't the Hulk naked? Not that I want big giant green dong hanging out.
Well,
but
maybe part of you does.
Maybe just for realism.
Yeah.
Come on.
Consistency, folks.
Watchmen had the balls to have blue balls.
Hey,
Dr. Manhattan.
Woo.
Nerd reference. Too bad the rest of that movie was okay. Anyways, not that the dick was the cool part of it. Anyways, I'm derailing this entire episode. So we're going to talk about... I feel like I'm still high from last week's 420 episode.
How about that?
How about that?
There was one thing that I wanted to say about last week, and I totally forgot. So this might not make sense in context, but please go back and listen to last week's episode.
Yeah, please do.
When they're on the date and he only has the $8 and they go to the hot dog stand and the hot dog vendor's like, do you want anything to drink? And she's like, yeah, I'll take a Pepsi. And then later that scene, he's holding a Diet Pepsi. And I was like,
continuity.
That's, come on,
that's
man.
That's been bugging you all week.
All week long.
All week you've been like, fuck, I forgot to mention the Diet Pepsi.
God.
Anyways.
Now, that's a little insight into the anxieties I have.
Before I talk any more about multicolored superhero penises or Diet Pepsi versus regular Pepsi, let's go into the plot in under 3 minutes.
Let's get into it. Let's jump in.
Let's get right in. So we're going to do the plot in under 3 minutes. Are we ready at the booth? All right. In 3, 2, 1. So we start out with the world's most angry coach on the planet, Robert Patrick, just screaming at everybody, throwing things. They're like, oh, shit. Then he looks, and the sprinklers keep going off, and he's really perturbed by it. And then somebody sneaks up behind him. He's like, what the hell do you want? Cut away. We don't know what happened. Then we go to the teacher meeting, where the principal's meeting with the drama teacher, and basically everybody else saying, hey, sports is more important than everything you want in life. In arts and everything gone. Kind of like the Trump administration. Anyways, she sticks around. She's like, oh, I forgot my keys. That always happens. She comes back. The coach is stalking her. She gets stabbed with a pencil.
Yep.
And then the other teacher shows up, and they stab her a bunch of times with scissors, and she's dead. And cut away. Ah! Slasher and beginning.
Okay, so then we meet all the students. We have Josh Hartnett is the cool guy who stayed back a year but is super smart. Elijah Wood is the...
makes drugs with pens.
Yeah, yeah. Elijah Wood is a photographer and sort of a nerd. Jordana Brewster is the head cheerleader.
She's a bitch.
The one guy whose name I forget is the head quarterback, but he wants to quit the team.
Yeah.
And then there's a new girl in school.
And then there's the goth girl thinks is a lesbian and makes fun of.
Clea Duvall.
Yes. Uh-huh.
So they're all going about their days.
And they literally have a nameplate that comes up for them and like cool letters.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So the quarterback wants to quit the team.
Mm-hmm.
And so he does that. Elijah Wood finds an organism on the sprinkler and brings it in to John Stewart and is like, hey, I found this. What is it?
And
John Stewart investigates.
He puts it in an aquarium.
Yep.
And it starts to grow and move around.
And then he touches it and it turns into two organisms.
Splits, and you're like, oh shit, what's happening here?
Yep.
And then from there, we also are introduced to Famke Jensen, who's like this super nerdy teacher, and Famke Jensen couldn't be nerdy if you wanted to. She's super hot still. And then the teachers are all starting to act weird. You have Robert Patrick going to, they all start to suspect things, but then Elijah Wood and Jordana Brewster figure out, oh shit, they are, because they're sleeping around the teacher's
lounge. Because the old teacher dies in the shower.
Yep.
And then they see through the teacher's lounge, they see through
puke up a larva. Farfa, and it goes into Selma Hayek's ear, and then they're all like, oh, what's up? And then they change the cop, they turn him, and they start turning everybody. Elijah Wood and Jordana Brewster, oh shit, we only have a minute left.
Yep.
They go running off, they try and convince everybody else, nobody's believing them.
And then all the students are starting to turn into aliens as well, because they're all being infected. And so this group of six students runs away from the school, they go back to Josh Hartnett's house, and he's like, has this whole science
after they stab Jon Stewart in the eye, so they realize that the drug, here it goes. So they realize that the drug dehydrates him, so they go, okay, we all gotta try this, and they all snort it, and nobody, and then it turns out Jordana Brewster's infected, so they escape, they run away from them,
and they realize they have to kill the mother, so they go to the principal, and they kill the principal, she's not the mother.
She's all
the
larvae coming, not her, so then they're trying to figure out, they go, and everybody splits up for some reason, they go and try and talk to the coach. Coach is out there, he's getting all these larvae flying out of his face, anyways,
and it turns out New Girl is the mother.
New Girl's the mother, and it's Elijah Wood versus her, and then Josh Hartnett, and then they end up killing her.
He goes through the stands are like crap, and then he throws the thing.
Stabs the thing in her eye.
Done.
And then he gets the girl. Wow, we really focused on the minutia, and by we, I mean, that was my bad.
We did. You were really concerned about the school's budget. That was like, you were super focused on
I spent
on
like
who...
45 seconds on the school budget. Guys, so what? Here's the thing that really pissed me off about this movie.
They're in the red, clearly.
They're cutting the funding to the arts because they're worried about sports. It was really pissing me off. Anyway, so, oh my god, yeah, so I got a little focused on that. Let's just get into this.
Yeah, let's do it.
Because I love, first off, it was the most stereotypical angry coach I think I may have ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
He's just really shitty to them. And I never responded well to that. Like, if I ever have a director scream at me after a take, it's not going to make me do better. If anything, it's going to make me do worse, because now I'm paranoid you're going to yell at me. Because I don't handle, how you say, confrontation very well.
Sure. Sure.
You know, that's just something that I'm not a big confrontationist.
Yeah. I mean, we could go into the differences, I guess, between a director and a football coach.
No, we don't need to.
But we don't have to. No. I think that's the appropriate parallel to draw.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think that, like, so he's set up this way, I think.
So that he can juxtapose later when he's this calm and cool thing. Now, can we talk about the slasher scene in the beginning? Because it's awesome, but doesn't seem to make sense to the rest of the movie. I don't understand why he stabs her through the hand with a pencil and says, I've always wanted to do that, or something like that. And then the other teacher stabs her again and says, I've always wanted to do that. They repeat the same thing. So I thought that was going to be like a theme that they all start saying, but it only happens at the beginning. And why do they stab her so much if they're just going to infect her with the alien? And how does her wounds heal? I have so many questions.
Right. So this was the main thing for me.
Like, she should be dead, not coming back.
Exactly. Yeah. She should be dead. It was very unclear to me the motivations of the aliens as far as like who and when they infiltrate.
Yeah.
Because Jordana Brewster was like incognito for who knows how long.
Yeah.
It was unclear. And then even the teachers, like, why didn't they just immediately take over the school? I didn't understand.
Well, I think what it was strategic. To me, it made sense how they played it out, where you start picking off from the higher ups down, and you do it subtly enough that people, before you know it, everybody's taken over. It was just that beginning that I don't understand how she gets like stabbed, and it's like a slasher Michael Myers, not an Austin Powers, Mike Myers opening. And
Jason Patrick, I think you're talking about.
Jason Patrick, yeah. And then she should be dead, but she comes back and she's one of them now. And it's like, why did you kill her in the beginning? You didn't.
Right.
Why didn't they just have an opening where, like, they held her head and puked that thing out? But I guess they didn't want to reveal that was it yet, but still have sort of a fun scream type opening.
You know,
I think it was just to have an opening like that.
Sure.
And some
and
violence.
There were also moments, like, so there were inconsistencies here, right? Because there were also people who, once they were infected, were killed.
And then at the end, when they kill the mother, the queen alien, everybody who wasn't turns back, so you're like, oh fuck.
Oh, so they just killed the principal.
Like, you just shot the principal in the face.
Fuck.
You stabbed your really nice Jon Stewart side. I mean, he was a little creepy in the teacher's lounge, but come on.
But he, you know,
he was harmless.
Jon Stewart wasn't doing the best he could.
Wasn't even locker room talk bad.
Yeah. This is, by the way,
the president has said worse than Jon Stewart.
Two consecutive weeks we've done a Jon Stewart movie. How about
have
that?
Have you seen the back of a $20 bill? I'm on weed. So anyways, the beginning, it's definitely feels a little out of place for the movie, but I still think it's fun. And when the pencil gets shoved through the hand and all that, it's awesome. And wasn't the principal, she was on Frasier, right? As Lilith or something?
Maybe.
Yeah. She was always kind of like this buttoned up kind of uptight person on Frasier, and she's kind of sexy in this.
Yeah.
Am I right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so.
So I was okay with her coming back. Yeah. Anyways. Now, all right. I've successfully
co-signed.
Spent 10 minutes on the first 3 minutes of the movie. So we talked about how... Let's talk about some of these characters. Josh Hartnett is driving like an asshole. I know they're setting up that he's cool, but...
That's how you set up your
safety's cool, kids. Drive through parking lots at school safe. This guy's peeling ass like he's in a street race with Vin Diesel in Fate of the Furious.
You're not just endangering your own life. You're endangering the lives of all the students and
you
all the faculty.
You can be cool because your car's cool enough. Now I just think that you're
selling drugs, man. Like, everyone, yeah. You have a rep. Like, you don't have to...
You don't need a rep. Come on. Now you're just showing off. Like, you sell drugs and pens.
Yeah.
You sell fake Neve Campbell and Jennifer Love Hewitt pornos on VHS.
Yep.
Which, when they get home, what's on there? Like, do they ever come back and go, dude, this isn't a Neve Campbell porn?
How
not full frontal? Or are they like, oh, we're not going to shit. Well, that's just $20.
He drives recklessly, so yeah. I don't want to fuck with him.
It's kind of like the time that I tried to get a guy to mod my PSP off of Craigslist,
uh-huh.
And he took $20 from me and then tried to take my PSP, but I grabbed it back from him and ran. And then he was like, I was like, well, he did rob me, but I'm not going to go back for my $20. So I had to grab it from his car and run. It was crazy.
Well, that's terrifying.
Yeah, post-traumatic stress.
Casually drop that story in the middle.
Yeah.
We're going to have to unpack
that
later.
Yeah. I'll tweet about it. I know him. I don't know. I know his Facebook page. I should go get him.
Oh, shit.
We should go after him. Anyways, so...
From all corners of the globe.
So then... I love this couple that's just like an extra. You know who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And the woman's always beating the shit out of her boyfriend. Yeah. She's like, fuck you fucking asshole, you stupid fucking idiot. And the only reason they do that is so that once they're taken over, they can be calm and lovey.
They can stare into each other's eyes.
That relationship is so destructive.
Right.
Like, somebody should just be like, you guys just call it.
I guess I don't remember my high school relationships.
I don't remember anybody like that. I dated a girl in college that was sort of like
that. Yeah, but no, like in high school,
no one's
like, well, we gotta stay in it for the kids.
Well,
like,
movie,
no one is that attached to anyone where they're like, I guess I'm gonna keep
this. And I love that he's just always like, whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever. It's just, but I think that's part of the point is this is kind of making fun of. Yeah, it's winking at the high school cliches. Like,
right.
I mean, even
sure.
Elijah Wood's Casey character is a nerd, but he's made fun of and tortured like an 80s nerd.
Right.
Not a late 90s one. Like, the fact that they lift him all up and just ram his nuts into a flagpole
is so
fucking brutal.
That's a tough way to start.
And then
he's
like crying in the stall. I felt really bad
That's
for
how
him.
We're introduced to him. He first gets like knocked over, then he gets his nuts into the flagpole.
Somebody just elbows him.
Yeah.
Like, they don't even show who elbowed him, and then he apologizes to the elbow guy.
Right.
He's like, oh, sorry. Like, he bumped it. It's clearly an elbow. It's like, crack! And he's like, oh, sorry, dude.
Yeah, but just as far as we can tell, just apologizing to the elbow.
To the elbow.
Yeah. And then, yeah, he's crying by himself.
It sucks.
And he's overhearing the, like, fraud that's going on with Josh Hartnett.
Yep.
And he is just...
I just feel so bad for
him. He's destined to have that information torture him for the rest
of
his life.
Now, this is going to spoil things. Spoiler alert, we're going to spoil the whole movie. We're going to talk about the whole thing. But did you think when Mary Beth was first introduced, because it turns out that she's the alien, did you see that coming?
A little bit.
Because I don't remember seeing it coming the first time. But obviously I knew it was coming because I remembered naked Mary Beth.
Right. Right.
And I was like, well, she wasn't naked because she just wanted to get naked. She was the queen.
So,
but I don't remember seeing that coming back in the day. And they do a good job of kind of diverting you from it.
Yeah, I mean, they have her take the drug and nothing happens
Which
to her.
Which the reveal to that.
Yeah, the reveal
I love whenever movies cut back to like, this is how it really happened.
Uh-huh.
And the reveal where her nostrils close up and then her tentacle finger opens up the bottom of the pen cap and no one notices.
Right, yeah.
It's amazing.
Well, yeah. But so I don't know if it's because I subconsciously remembered that she was the queen
Same
alien.
Here, yeah.
But I think also, like, I've been trained now by a lot of TV and movies to suspect things.
It's really hard not to...
Right. And so if
it's really hard to pull, like, a Sixth Sense on you anymore.
Totally.
Or a Usual Suspects.
Totally. So if you're the new kid in town on the same day that aliens invade the school, like...
Chances are...
You're suspect number one.
Yeah.
in my TV watching mind.
And even they even do the murder mystery, the classic murder mystery thing where it's like, well, maybe it's the new girl. Nah.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like they totally they bring your attention to it and then turn it away. So that,
she's also, and like this was set up to like juxtapose how everyone else was behaving.
Yeah.
But she's super weird.
Yeah, she's super weird.
Like she doesn't fit into this school at all.
Oh,
she's
hey,
just,
I'm married by Joe Babylate. Right. She has like 14 names and I'm just here because I'm super sweet and I'm from Atlanta. I just want to meet everybody.
She introduces herself to everyone with her full name and where she's from.
Yeah. Nobody does that.
No one does that except an
alien.
I've
never been like, hey, my name's Benjamin Jacob Begley. I'm from Akron, Ohio.
I've never
in my life.
I've never witnessed it.
Never in my life.
Well, yeah, well, there
unless
you go.
Unless it's like how you have to for a job.
Confirmed, Ben is not an alien.
Confirmed, I'm not an alien. Or I am an alien.
What?
Oh, shit. Wait, I forgot to play the sound clip. Clip number one from, this is, I almost said Jason Patrick. Robert Patrick being creepy in the stalker scene when he's stalking the principal over the loudspeaker. Can we play clip number one?
Office.
Oh. And then the piano. Mm-hmm.
Could you imagine if you were a kid and the principal got on and said it like that? If your principal said it like that?
No.
That's horrifying.
I mean, that's why he waited till the school was empty, because he didn't want to scare any of the kids.
Too much. I would ad lib off this, but I want to move on.
Let's
unless
move
you got
on.
One.
No, let's move
no,
on.
No, it's too good. Let's play it one more time just because it's so good.
Would Miss Drake please report to the principal's office? Ah.
He's so creepy.
Also, for the sake of the guy who commented on YouTube that what are they talking about ad-libbing, I do want to follow up and say when Ben said ad-lib right now, what he was saying was, I don't want to tell a story from our own lives.
I couldn't
a true that. Story from our own lives.
That's right. Yes, yes, yes. A true story. All these stories we say on here are true. There is no ad-libbing. They are all 100%. True stories, 100%. So then... let's skip ahead to the teacher's lounge. We introduce all the teachers now. John Stewart hitting on sick nurse. He's getting kind of creepy on sick Salma Hayek, like thinking he can get her on a vulnerable day. And they keep saying, like, there's a redheaded dude that never comes back who looks like Harry Knowles from Ain't It Cool News. Looks like him, or looks like Ethan Embry when he played Harry Knowles in Fanboys. I just went deep in references there.
Yeah, you did.
I went deep sea diving in references no one cares about.
I'm like in that like fourth level of Inception where I like don't know what.
Meanwhile, GMP
time
is just
happening.
Going like this.
Yeah. Like someone perform the drop so I can come back.
Can we play clip number two? This is Selma Hayek. This is her sick day quote.
I'm saving my sick days for when I feel better.
It's actually smart.
That's how you do
very
it.
Smart.
That's how you do it.
Now, I don't know about you, but when I was a kid in school, this is actually a true story. I would feel so bad about missing school that I had to be like deathly ill before I would go. I would always be like, I'm not sick enough to go. And now as an adult, I feel like it's like, fuck it, I'm too sick. Like, I feel like it's flipped.
That's interesting. I
where now I do feel more like that, where it's like,
I'm saving my sick days for when I feel better.
Because then you can enjoy your days off. Then again, I'm an actor. I'm unemployed 80% of the year.
Like, so. How many sick days do you get?
I get like 335 sick days a year.
Sure. Sick days were great when I was a kid because you could watch The Price is Right.
That was fun. Gilligan's Island was fun.
Oh, nice.
Or G.I. Joe was really fun. Yeah. I used to watch.
I also did this. I had my senior year of high school, I had Spanish first period, and I was awful at Spanish. So on days that we had a test, I would say to my mom, hey, can I just sleep in? I'm really like super tired from the plays and whatever. And then I'd come in after Spanish class. I'd talk to someone in my class and be like, hey, what was on the test? And then I'd go in at lunch and be like, I'm sorry, I like had to come in late. Can I take the test now?
You son of a bitch.
Well, and now I don't know Spanish. So there you
there
go.
There you go. Who lost
that, I'm the big loser there.
Who lost in that scenario?
Yeah. Take the long view, kids.
Did you notice in the parent-teacher conference scene, not parent-teacher, in the teacher's lounge scene, John Stewart randomly says after he gets turned down, why don't you put a pencil in my eye? And it's like, is that a phrase?
Yeah.
That's not a phrase that I've ever
not
heard.
At all.
Like, ah, man, I'm late for the show again. Why don't you put a pencil in my
but,
eye?
So here, maybe this justifies the coach saying I've always wanted to do that. Because maybe John Stewart just says that all the time. And he's like, fuck, man, that sounds like something I'd really like to do.
He's just incepted that in everyone's mind in the teaching. Man,
I really want to do that.
So the jock wants to quit football.
Right.
And they actually give the jock some layers in this movie.
Sure.
And I know we're jumping ahead a little bit, but we'll play the clip where he wants to quit. I forget what number that is.
It's I deserve this D.
I deserve this D.
I worked hard for that D. That was my D. I deserved that D.
You know? So, I don't know if you remember, in like the early to mid 90s, mm-hmm. Lorena Bobbitt
and
John Bobbitt.
Yeah.
For those of you who don't know, Lorena Bobbitt, in her husband John Bobbitt's sleep, sliced off his penis and threw it out the window.
Sharp ass knife.
Yep. And rumor has it, when John Bobbitt woke up, he said,
I worked hard for that D. That was my D. I deserved that D.
You know, I just have a, we've talked a lot about dicks a lot this episode so far. Two for me, one for you. So that sounded even worse in context.
Well,
anyways,
someone clip that.
Someone clip. Jesus, I'm gonna get trolled and people are gonna say all kinds of weird shit. What I was gonna say though is after Daredevil season one, people were kind of making fun of the costume and saying that it almost ruined the show and things like that. I thought it was cool. And Daredevil got a little bit butthurt on it because he had the D on his chest, and it was the double D because Daredevil, and he felt he earned it. And he looked at Wilson Fisk, and Wilson Fisk was laughing at him, a.k.a. the bad guy of the show.
Sure.
And he said,
I worked hard for that D. That was my D. I deserved that D.
He deserved that D.
I wish he would have said it a little more passionately.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I mean,
he sounds, like, dejected about it.
A little dejected. Yeah, a little.
Man, I deserve that D.
This is one of Mary Beth's weird quotes. He said she's weird.
Yeah, she is.
Can we play number three? This is when she meets Clea Duvall.
No. I'm not aware of any lesbianism in my lineage.
Oh, cut off in the end there. I'm not aware of any lesbian in my lineage.
Lesbianism.
Lesbianism in my lineage. It just goes with South, how the South, I don't understand.
You pass it down.
Yeah, okay,
sure.
But she's so friendly about everything. Like, oh, I'll be your best friend. I don't think there's any lesbianism in my lineage, so right. I think we're okay. We can just be platonic friends. That should have been a red flag. I'm like, who the fuck is this person?
What did she just say?
Super weird. Oh, and so now, then everybody starts suspecting after Elijah Wood, the scene where we talked about it in the, I focused on it way too long in the 3 minutes, where they attack Salma Hayek, and they're throwing her around, and, first off, the teacher that comes in the shower, Cloris Leachman, I think it was, and she's, her skin's, like, melting off, and she's naked, and she falls on Josh, on the football jock.
Football player, yeah.
And he goes to hold her, and her hair rips out of her scalp, and it's so fucking nasty.
It's so gross.
That freaked me out just as much as the Merc lady in the bathtub in The Shining.
Yeah.
Where it's like corroding old naked women is like every person's nightmare.
Well,
in a shower.
Not every person's nightmare. Let's not judge those who are into that sort
of
thing.
If you're into that sort of thing, all right.
One thing I did want to say about that was that dude just stepped into the shower pre-water temperature check.
Yeah.
He just stepped right in and turned the water on while he was in it.
Yeah.
And that is fucking reckless, and he deserves whatever happens
to him.
He's
just as reckless as Josh Hartnett driving.
Right.
Come on.
Right. But this isn't even a cool reckless.
He also took a very long... I love it when people take a really long time to wash the soap out of their eyes. Like, somebody there?
Right.
Anybody there?
Yeah.
For real, anybody?
But then he continues to his face with the water. And it's like, just clear your eyes of the soap and open your eyes.
Yeah, like, I mean, if... There have been times when I was a kid and I was home alone, I was always so paranoid I locked the door when I showered. And one time I was showering and I heard it rattle the doorknob, and I looked out and I went, Mom, Dad? And it stopped. And then nothing. So I don't know if it was haunted.
It was that dude who jacked your money for the PlayStation.
Damn
it was that same guy.
He went back in time.
Holy shit.
Shit, man.
This guy is haunting you.
Ah, it's like Looper. He's after me. So Elijah Wood, and then what happens is they go to investigate this. Elijah Wood and Jordana Brewster, and she's starting to soften up, and we realize she's not this hardened bitch that she seems to be.
Yeah, although I do have a problem with her because she dumps the football player because head cheerleaders only date the captain of the football team, and then she ends up with Elijah Wood.
Yeah, her motivations are very unclear.
Yeah.
So they go in there, they're snooping around, they hear somebody coming, and it's Salma Hayek, and they barf a larva into her ear, and blood spurts out, and they witness this.
Right.
And they run out, and what I found funny is that the alien is so confident, and the alien spawns, that they let the kids leave to then go report it
right.
and bring the parents back, and then they've turned more people. And then they bring the cop in and turn the cop. I love the fact that they were so cocky. They're like, fuck you, kids. Yeah, go tell somebody.
Kind of.
Because who's going to believe that?
Well, and they're
who
also
on earth
like,
would believe that?
So here's the thing that I... So in any like alien or ghost movie where someone has to realize what's going on,
mm-hmm.
I know that's not going to be me. When that happens,
yeah.
I'm going to be like, no. No, this can't be
so
it.
So that's good because I'll be the guy who's like, holy... Jesse... Fuck, dude, the Popcorn Talk studios are haunted, man.
Probably aliens or ghosts, and I'll be
no,
like...
No, this is super haunted.
Ben, stop it.
I'm telling you, this place is haunted.
Ben,
fuck this, I'm out of here.
Yeah,
fuck
exactly.
This, fuck this, I'm out of
that's,
here.
That's going to be me. I'm going to be Josh Hartnett.
So Elijah Wood's parents come, they don't believe him, they go home, and they start ransacking his room. Can we play the clip number 4?
Check his school books. They hide the drugs in the spine of the book. I saw it on Dateline.
I'm pretty sure so many parents base so many things on what they saw on Dateline. Yeah. Like my mom, when I first moved out here, E True Hollywood Story, whatever, all those kind of like depressing shows. When I first moved out here, my mom watched E True Hollywood Story on Judy Garland, and she called me up crying and was like, please tell me you're going to always keep a part of yourself for you and not be like Judy Garland. And I was like, mom, it's fine. I literally just moved out here.
But you could already feel yourself
just,
eroding.
Yeah, just
it's like
oh
I'm,
man,
I'm part of the landscape.
I'm part of
now.
The landscape now. Oh,
no,
man.
You know, like so, I was just in Australia, and like we talked to a few Australians about like
yeah.
what they think of America.
Yeah,
and some like there were two that my wife talked to, and she came back, and she was like, so they literally just said, I don't want to come to America because I'm afraid I'm going to get shot. And so that's like a thing where
oh, yeah.
like there's a special report on something that happened
oh, yeah.
in a very specific place.
Oh, yeah.
And if you broadcast that, people are like, that's what happens
that's
to everyone.
Oh, that's the entire news media
yeah.
right now.
Uh-huh.
Yep. Oh,
yep.
yeah. And here's his punishment because his dad's so mad. Can we play number 5?
Okay. That's it. Your privileges are now over. No phone. Sorry. Over. No. Internet. You'll go to school, straight to school, and you'll come straight home. You got it?
I'm not going back to that school. They're waiting for me.
Oh, you'll go. If I have to tie to the desk myself, you'll go. No music.
Right. It's porno. It's porno.
You're porno. Oh. Poop. Sorry, pal. No more flogging the bishop.
No more flogging the bishop.
First of all, not
did
enough.
Did we pull anything from that clip? No?
Probably
all right,
not.
It's fine. That's okay.
That's
no
right.
more flogging the bishop.
There's such little faith in his adolescent son's ability to flog the bishop without a porno
yeah.
mag.
Nope.
Like, you could probably just do it.
Nope.
And then also...
He's a very visual guy.
I guess so. And then also, so immediately after that, Elijah Wood escapes the window and falls down because he thinks he sees
yeah.
the aliens
he's
outside.
He's immediately caught again.
And the dad comes out and immediately catches him, and the dad is
still
holding
the
porno
mag.
It's so good.
I remember when I was a kid... my dad got sent a catalog
uh-huh.
with like porn magazines and stuff you could order from it. One of his work buddies sent it as a joke or something.
Uh-huh.
And my mom was like, this is disgusting. And she threw it out in the trash. And I was like, I'll take the trash out tonight. I took the trash out and I was like 12. And I ripped it open and I dug in there and I hid it. And then I would just like stare at that thing. And then I would hide it in a different hiding place every week.
Smart.
I would change the hiding place.
Smart.
And it was so elaborate that it would take like 10 minutes to unearth. It was like in a chest, underneath a box, underneath a stack of magazines, hidden in between two comic books, in like a taped... like, who the fuck would ever go that deep?
Do you know what's great, though? It was probably something where like you thought... like you took 10 steps to get there, but you could also take one step... like through the back door
yeah,
and
yeah.
just find it.
Yeah.
Like it's, I don't know.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I bet it was easily found.
And now it's just clear your browser history. You
right.
know, it's, I'm telling you, I know I always harp at it, but it was a much more innocent time growing up in the 80s and 90s.
Everyone get rid of your internet. Just so you know what we're talking about.
Just buy nudie mags and hide them elaborately.
Mm-hmm.
Uh,
send snail mail.
So when Elijah Wood gets confronted by the coach and the coach is starting to fuck with him a little bit, there's a really cool exchange between them. Can we play clip B1?
Seen you around. You're not really into sports.
I don't think a person should run unless he's being chased.
Being chased. I like that.
Which clip did you take from that?
Being
and chase. I like that.
Nice.
I like that.
You know, I'm trying to think of something. Oh, actually, when I used to play tag as a kid on the playground in grade school, and everybody hated being it. It was like, it was like the bad thing, and you know, because you got to be chased, and you had to chase people. And I always liked to tag the person who was the most upset about it. And then I was like, look, chasing people is fun, you know? You get to be scary. And they looked at me, and I think I turned them kind of psychotic in that moment. And in fact, I'm pretty sure they've committed several crimes since then. Mm. But it sounded a little something like this.
Being chased. I like that.
There's a Dateline special about them now. Yeah, I won't say their name.
That's all right.
You know, for the sake of their
shout
family.
Out to the anonymous people.
You know,
I was hanging out with a buddy of mine, and he was like, he had maybe had one too many beverages, adult beverages. And I was like, all right, I gotta go. And he goes, no, we're gonna do one more shot. And I was like, all right. So, he was like, I'm gonna do vodka. And I was like, I don't know. And he was like, and I was like, that's kind of gross by itself. Why don't you chase it with cranberry juice? And he was like,
being chased.
I like that.
I like that.
And I was like, then in an Uber.
In an Uber.
That's
in
it.
In an Uber you go.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yes. So let's skip ahead a bit where we have, which is the clip from This Is the Test? Is that from Jon Stewart?
No. So this is when the drunk teacher is asking everyone to fill out their family lineage.
Fill out your family lineage because they're trying to, I assume because they're trying to figure, make sure they get everybody.
Yeah.
So nobody suspects anything.
Yeah. And the football player who's all of a sudden into his studies raises his hand and he says, is this going to be on the test?
This is the test.
That's an eerie noise in there.
Jesus.
You know,
that's an easy test, by the way. I know my family members.
Yeah,
A+.
I actually failed my driving test twice.
Stop it.
Because I let somebody go in front of me one time because I was trying to be courteous, and that's illegal because they were at a stop sign and I was not.
Okay.
I almost got hit at a red light turning left when I was at a turn arrow or whatever. And then the third time, they just felt so bad for me. I got in the car and they literally had me turn it on and turn it back off. And I was like, is that it? Isn't there a test? And they were like,
this is the test.
Just get the hell out of here.
Yeah.
You know how to drive.
It's yeah.
Fine. You're just stop being pathetic.
It was
a shallow victory.
Right. Because you got that license, but, you know.
At what cost?
You didn't really earn it.
To this day, I still haven't
earned
it.
You
didn't earn that D, bro.
Yeah. So you know the rapper The Game?
Mm-hmm.
There's a guy under him. Who was learning from him.
Yeah.
And he wanted a similar, like, cool name, so he was going by The Test.
Yeah.
And
I remember
he,
that.
Like, showed up at this small club in Burbank.
And like, yo, who's playing?
And yeah, and I was like, hey, are you playing? And like, what's your name? And he was like,
this is The Test.
He's like, you don't have to refer to yourself in the third person like that. You just,
I mean, you could just say, I am. I am.
It's yeah. Little,
you know,
or have your manager
rap's all
say
an ego game.
It, you know, it is.
It's gotta be. So I like that. So then things get really fucking weird and we can skip around a little bit because basically there's all these awesome shots of like the kids all drinking from a drinking fountain and everybody's chugging water because we find out later that these aliens dehydrate the body they inhabit. So they have to keep drinking water
so
in order to survive.
In stark contrast to the alien from the movie Signs.
Yes.
Who came
yes.
to Earth and was allergic to water.
Yes. Yeah.
These aliens
basically,
need water.
M. Night Shyamalan saw this movie and went, you know what? I could do this better.
Yeah.
Just flip it.
And it wasn't better. It was much more confusing.
Swing Bobby or whatever it was. Yeah, I forget what they say. Oh yeah. It kind of ruins it. So they, what's that? Swing away,
yeah.
Merle.
Yeah.
So then Miss Burke comes back looking sexy as hell and says something to the effect of the football player that I'll kick my foot up your ass so hard that you'll be sucking your toes, my toes,
yeah.
on graduation.
Uh-huh.
It's weirdly erotic and gross at the same time.
Right. And
there's a lot of stuff you got to go through to get
many steps.
I mean, clearly it's physically impossible even for an alien.
But also, like, you. You wouldn't be sucking her toes till graduation because you'd like something would have to give at
yeah.
that point. You couldn't
yeah.
just exist
with
her
die.
With
yeah.
her foot
yes.
up your butt,
of course,
all the way to your mouth.
which clip did you do from Aliens Are Taking Over?
I believe this was just Elijah Wood coming to the realization.
I have a clip too for this.
The six kids in the science room realizing.
Yeah, so they're all trying. So basically, Josh Hartnett and Mary Beth start making out, and they overhear the other four kids who now are convinced after stabbing John Stewart in the eye. We didn't even talk about that.
Nope.
So John Stewart attacks him, and Josh Hartnett takes the fucking paper cutter off, hacks at him with it. He's still coming. He throws him into the fish tank. It's awesome. And then he stabs him with the pen in the eye, and the drugs, because we find out it's caffeine pills and they're a diuretic, dehydrate the shit out of him, pus and like white, like basically like Alka-Seltzer starts shooting out and he just drops.
Yep.
Which, by the way, like we said, turns out he's dead now.
Right.
And he couldn't have been turned back.
So they killed the science teacher.
You guys murdered
him.
Great job. Holy shit, we are running out of time. Please tell me you have 5 extra minutes on top of that 4. Maybe not. So let's play Aliens Are Taking Over. Clip number 8.
We think aliens are taking over our school.
Which I thought after reading My Teacher is an Alien. I just was that book as a kid.
Yeah, yeah.
This is like an ultra-violent version of that book. And I was convinced that aliens were taking over our school. I was freaked out, especially Mrs. Rubenstein. She was definitely a weirdo.
She probably was.
Definitely a weirdo.
She probably was.
Can we play clip B2? This is when this movie gets very referential, like clearly teenagers who watch movies. And this is definitely one of the most overt clips.
Look, how do you know there's not a conspiracy? Where do all these movies come from anyway? How do we know Spielberg, Lucas, Sonnenfeld, Emmerich haven't been visited by aliens? You know, maybe they're aliens themselves. Maybe they're simply preparing us for what's to come.
You know what, Casey? It's fiction, okay? It's science fiction.
Exactly. Everybody gets hung up on the science part, which has nothing to do with it. They're getting at fiction.
So aliens have just been setting us up over the years, creating this happy little make-believe existence with their E.T. and their Men in Black movies just so that nobody would believe it if it really happened.
Man, I think so. They drop so many movies in that.
Yes.
It's insane. And they also talk about Independence Day later on. It's just like every 80s and 90s alien movie.
About this moment in all of these types of movies is the wrong conclusion is never drawn. The one person who, like, is onto them nails it from the fucking get-go.
Yep.
He's like, no, they're setting us up with all these movies, and they would come to a small town, because why would you blow up the White House Independence Day style? Wouldn't you come in the back door?
And everybody else kill takes them? The entire movie.
Yeah, and to kill them, we have to get the mother of all aliens, and that'll kill all the rest of them. Like, what?
Don't you think...
What?
How many movies... I fucking love this movie, but how many movies have the plot where... kill the mothership or kill the queen and all of them. It's like every movie on the planet, even the Avengers, which is one of my favorite movies ever. They blow up the ship and it kills all the, like, wouldn't aliens have technology that's more than just blow up one thing? Independence Day, blow up the one ship. Independence Day 2, blow up the one ship.
Right.
It's always blow. It's just an easy plot device.
And but also, like, isn't there a like line of succession?
You think like,
if you kill a leader anywhere, then, like, someone else is there to be like, well, I guess I'm the leader now.
I mean, unless you pull a designated survivor and then it's just Kiefer Sutherland. Fantastic show, by the way.
But he is still designated survivor. Like, you wouldn't go to a planet and be like, well, we got one captain. And if that captain gets we're fucked.
That planet's screwed. No wonder they're coming here. Jesus.
Yeah.
Unless there's like, it's just her offspring. But still, it doesn't make any sense.
But they're detached. So I don't like, I mean, I guess.
I guess it's an easy way to just not have an entire town of dead people. And to have a slightly happy ending. Slightly. Even though you did shoot the principal in the face.
Yeah.
And all the larvae come out, which is one of my favorite shots in the whole movie, is when she gets shot in the face and all the, like, weird bugs are coming
out.
Oh,
so gross.
And then they throw the thing on her, she's like, and she starts mounting, basically, and just, like, corrodes into the ground. It's so nasty. Mm. Can we play clip number...
Fuck you, titbag.
Yes! Yeah. There we go.
Oh, you knew it.
What was that again?
Fuck you, titbag.
You know, I was at my bachelor party. I was at a exotic dance club, and two of the dancers got a little feisty with each other, and the one yelled at the other one.
Fuck you, titbag.
And I was just like, guys, this is really cramping the mood in here.
Sure.
I mean, it's already weird enough with the creepy dude who just throws 20s and walks away.
Yeah.
Which is always strange when that happens. There's always that guy that, like, just takes a wad of money and just, like, angrily throws it and then walks back to the bar. It's almost like he's like, my wife said I'm not allowed to be here. but I'm here anyway.
What's wrong with him, you asshole? He's tweaking. Let him fucking tweak.
Let him fucking tweak. Speaking of, that's from the part we got to keep moving on because we only have 3 minutes because I was late like an asshole. They all start tweaking. That scene's ridiculous.
I caught that sound clip because I just love Elijah Wood.
Yeah, let's play
laughing.
Can we play that sound clip again?
Nothing's wrong with him, you asshole. He's tweaking. Let him fucking tweak.
Yeah, he's like a maniac. Like, no one laughs like
completely.
That.
Look at our mustache, man.
Fuck that, man. You're taking it.
You're taking it.
So we find out that it's all caffeine pills that's been crushed up with other chemicals and stuff.
Right.
And so apparently snorting it is just like...
Do caffeine pills make you feel this way?
I guess we have to try it. We have to try it now and report back.
Homework.
I'm a dad now. I can't snort it. So somebody... No, don't... Actually, don't do it. If you have done it, let us know. But by all means, this is not us advocating you to snort
but
caffeine
also,
pills.
If you have done it, past tense, but in the future.
In the future. Don't do it.
Don't do it.
Don't do it. So we did fuck you titbags, and I made a really dumb stripper joke. Let's see. Oh, my God. I feel like we have so many.
We have a full page.
Football game where they're all chanting kill, and they're just crushing them.
Let's hit
and,
on moments, right? Famke Janssen gets beheaded.
And the tentacles are crawling
and she's
around.
Like feeling around for her head.
So I guess she might be alive after this if she can reattach her head.
I don't know.
And if that's the case, why don't they all just reanimate instead?
Right.
There's so many rules broken
so
in
the
here.
Aliens don't have rules. That's what I've... And then
he just says, fuck this, and runs. He's just like, I'm out. Right. She's chasing her head
he
around.
He doesn't want to make sure that she's dead. Also, like, the moment when the aliens have taken over most of the school, and you were talking about the water fountain, but there's one where, like, the classroom, all the students have their hands raised.
They're just really super stoked and
but, like,
studious
why
now.
Are they holding class? If they all know they're aliens, why are they, like, still going
well,
over
they're
lessons?
Still going over until they take over. They got to keep up appearances.
But they
that's
don't
why.
Realize that that's a weird appearance.
Yeah, I know. You're right.
Like, oh, just some awareness.
But it's
that's
the alien interpretation of our lives.
You're
so
right.
They're trying to assimilate. And I wrote here, it's just at the end, it ends up being everybody gets infected in an alien except Zeke and Casey. And can we actually play the clip where I leave for 5 minutes, number 11?
I leave for 5 minutes, I come back, and everyone's a fucking alien.
Yeah, everybody's a fucking alien.
Hard life, man.
So it's just him and Casey versus the mother shrimp is what I called her.
Yeah.
She looks like a giant shrimp. And she turns, she's naked, she's swimming, she gets out sexy, and then she turns into this, like, creepy creature, and she's smashing through the lockers. And in the end scene, Elijah Wood, Casey gets the idea to run through the bleachers because they have this super fast shutting mechanism.
But also, like a domino-style shutting. Like, they don't all shut together.
Yeah.
It just, like, slowly... Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it would be really slow and go like ding all at once, not like shutters in the Belko experiment. Like, great movie, also. You should check it out. And she, of course, the mother shrimp gets trapped right at the last minute. He pops the pen, stabs her in the eye.
Local hero.
Says something. You wouldn't like it here anyway, I think. Which was kind of weird. Like, guys, maybe he sympathizes with her in that moment.
He
like,
obviously should have said, I've always wanted to do this.
I've always wanted
just
to do this.
Just to
come
bring
on,
it all
bring
together.
It back. So that's actually, do we have any more time? If not, then I'm gonna close it out. Let me know.
I'm seeing quadruples.
No
zeros.
Time. No yep. time. That's all the time we have. I'm sorry. I was late, everybody. It's don't blame Popcorn Talk.
And a neutral face emoji.
Emoji.
He doesn't care one way or the other if we continue or
so
not.
So we got to the end, though. We got to the end. Where she stabs the thing, kills it, and it kind of fades away in a lame... Oh, and then Casey gets Jordana Brewster and the jock gets Clea DuVall. It's the happiest ending ever, glossing over the fact that they murdered...
No one's traumatized by the incident. Everyone's just, like, going on with their lives.
All right, well, the principal wanted to cut funding to the arts anyway, so he shot her in the face.
That was weird.
Kind of like the beginning of the show where I rambled about everything else for 7 minutes.
But
anyways.
But if I remember correctly, you've always wanted to do that.
I have. Yes, I've always wanted to do that. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been the faculty this week. We're not sure what we're going to do yet, but we love your suggestions, so keep them coming at Guilty Movie Guys. Also, just comment on the YouTube page. Tell us if you ever thought your teachers were an alien growing up, or anybody in your family, or what's your favorite alien invasion movie? What's your favorite quote from this movie?
Or tell us what you thought of the movie Pixels.
Yeah, just tell us what you thought of the movie Pixels. Call back to like 2 weeks ago.
There you go.
And Jesse, where can they find you at?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at TooMuchJesse. Check me out at The Prom Losers for sketch on Instagram. We got one dropping tomorrow.
All right. At the Ben Begley on Twitter and Instagram at Funhouse Mass. The Funhouse Massacre is on Showtime right now, and I believe we're doing Netflix soon. I'm not sure, but I'll let you know. And until next time, ladies and gentlemen, what is your guilty movie pleasure? I've always wanted to do that.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed here are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.